Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter at Class Tech Tips, or go straight to classtechtips.com/bookbonus to request your bonus items. Today's episode is sponsored by Kokomo 24/7, a leader provider in health and safety management solutions. With the company's extensive history in assisting K-12 schools, colleges, and universities, and other educational systems, Kokomo 24/7 Safety Cloud can help to swiftly implement proven health and safety management measures during the pandemic, as well as known concerns in educational settings, such as accident and bullying, mental health, and Title IX compliance requirements. Visit Kokomo 24/7 to learn more about Kokomo 24/7 solutions. This week's podcast episode is titled, How to Help Students Better Navigate Digital Spaces. It's an EdTech Essentials Spotlight, and I'll share a topic I feature in Chapter 1 of my new book, EdTech Essentials, the Top 10 Technology Strategies for All Learning Environments. And if you've already got a copy of the book, don't worry, I'm going to add in some extras here too. So we're going to take a look at the role of students as consumers, and the different types of media students come across in digital spaces. And in today's episode, I'll share some of my favorite resources to help students build skills as navigators. So the focus of today, Navigate, is also the focus of the first chapter of my new book, EdTech Essentials. If you would like to get your hands on chapter one of the book, I have a PDF version, a sneak peek I can share with you. Or if you want more details on how to order the book, just send me a message on Instagram at Class Tech Tips, or use the book bonus link in the description of this podcast episode. It'll have some information all about the book and some special things I want to make sure to get in the hands of readers. So we know today, as we talk about this idea of helping students navigate digital spaces, that they often take on the role of consumers. And consumers are not just part of the food chain or the supply chain, like we might use that term in a science classroom. This all-encompassing term also includes people like you, me, students who read, view, and listen to content in online spaces. To help spark a conversation on how to support students as they navigate online spaces, we'll take a look today at some of the content students encounter when they are online. Now, as consumers of online content, students come across a lot of different things, and I've put it into four categories or key items, both in our conversation on the podcast today and in the book. So we'll think about links, embedded items, images, and video content. So regardless of the device in your student's hands or on their desk, we're going to think about how we can unpack what parts are really front and center when students are navigating within a digital space. In this chapter, I also talk about how to model navigating online spaces with these kind of features in mind. But for this episode today, we're going to consider when these different types of pieces of content content might appear on a student's screen. The first one is links. So links appear throughout online spaces and connect students to content hosted on a separate page somewhere else off of that virtual space they started in. Now, a link could take users to another resource created by the same organization or publication, such as when an article mentions an event and provides a link to one of their articles that covered that event. But a link could also take readers to another website chosen by the creator of the original source. So this might be a moment where you're bringing in digital citizenship skills as part of a conversation on navigating online. But we click on links all day, and we want to make sure that when we're talking to students about navigating online spaces, we're setting them up for success. So if they're going to open up a new window, a new tab might pop up, or they're going to stay within the same kind of ecosystem to explore an online resource. In addition to links, next up in terms of the content kids might consume in online spaces are embedded items. Now, online spaces are full of interactive items that give users access to extra content, something supplemental about that particular topic a student is exploring. So a web designer or an app developer might insert an interactive item to connect a reader to other content that is relevant to that topic. So this is different than, say, a link that would take you to a different page. These embedded items would be embedded or put right onto that particular space students are in. The goal of this embedded item, sometimes it's called a widget if it truly is interactive and lives within a page or space, is to add value or make a connection or provide additional information to someone. For example, in an online newspaper article, say about an event in Cairo, you might find an embedded item for Google Maps that lets the reader explore the map as a way to extend the reading experience. So Google Maps is a great example. We sometimes see this plugged into a page as an embedded item that provides more information or more context. So today, as we talk about helping students navigate different spaces, in addition to having a conversation on where a link might take us, these embedded items and the value that they provide or who chose what to go on a particular page is another conversation you might have. Now, in addition to interactive maps, which is one of my favorite examples because we see it so frequently, there are other types of embedded items. This could include a video clip, so maybe something that is plugged in from a YouTube channel or YouTube page. This might include a timer or a countdown clock that's embedded onto a page. This often happens if the page is talking about a particular event or is inviting someone to take part in an event. There might be a slideshow of pictures. Sometimes this could include an embed from a third-party site like Google Photos, or I say third-party just meaning not associated with that organization. So if someone has an account in Google Photos, they might then embed a slideshow onto a page, or it might even include an embed of a form that's going to collect information. This could be a Google form that the HTML code is popped right into the page as opposed to clicking on a link, or it could be a Microsoft form, similar functionality there. So these embedded items keep you on a page and let you do something or take some sort of action. So when talking to students about navigating online spaces, it's important to point these things out and talk about the why they might have been added to a page or for a particular reason. So in addition to links and embedded items, we know that images are popular in all the online spaces we navigate, and photographs, illustrations appear in many different places. Whether students are scrolling through an Instagram feed or opening up a Wikipedia entry, there's going to be images that they come across. So similar to the pictures in, say, a textbook or another piece of informational text, both the visual on the page and the caption that goes along with it provide some sort of information. So in the same way students learn about using pictures when reading a book, students who navigate online spaces view images as a source of maybe potentially some valuable information. In an online space like Instagram, for example, images are the core content of the page and captions hold more value than they do when looking at a different type of text. So even sometimes the term microblogging is often associated with these lengthy captions that provide almost a narrative or a story or detailed information on a subject. So depending on where a student might be online, that caption might pack a different type of punch or give some really important information or just some ancillary information. Now, in addition to links, embedded items, and the images that students might come across in digital spaces, another category to consider is video. Now, you and I might remember the days of rolling a television cart into a classroom, but nowadays, the amount of video students consume and the way they access this content, especially in a classroom setting, has changed greatly. So video content is available, of course, on multiple platforms. You already heard me mention YouTube and this idea of embedding it specifically on a page or space kids might already be. And, you know, even at Google itself, if you go to google.com, includes the option to search for video clips, right? So this video content is all over the place. It does a lot of work to help us solve problems or understand concepts. It can be very valuable. So just like I mentioned, you can find videos embedded in websites in addition to, say, a native video platform that hosts videos like YouTube or Vimeo. But video content extends beyond these hosting sites and into social spaces such as Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, where just like an image, the video content is posted with captions and links and some extra information. This episode is really about navigating and making the most of all the things that are in online spaces and preparing students to navigate these too. And the first step is taking a moment to look at all the different kinds of content kids consume. Navigating online spaces may present specific challenges for some students though, and it's important to think about the additional support using digital tools can help out students who may require some extra support. And so to make sure you're creating equitable spaces for students, you'll want to review the different types of content consumption behaviors and the different platforms kids are on with accessibility in mind. And you might include some of your own choices where you're choosing a website or an online resource that supports the needs of individual students. So you might look at something like Immersive Reader from Microsoft to help students navigate online spaces where text is read aloud for them. You might check out some of the accessibility features from Chromebook or from Apple and their devices. So a lot to consider under this big umbrella of navigation. I dedicate a whole chapter to it, and in my book, EdTech Essentials, the Top 10 Technology Strategies for All Learning Environments. And I wanted to give you some ideas for supporting students as they navigate online spaces this school year, because we know it happens at all ages in every subject area. And of course, I dive deeper into the topic in the book, but if you can take a step back and think about the different types of content kids consume, that is a perfect first step for supporting students as they navigate online spaces. But let's finish up today's episode, like we always do, by making this EdTech easy. First, review this idea of students as consumers. Next, reflect on what students consume in digital spaces in your classrooms. Then, model how to use links, videos, and other online features. And finally, incorporate a new type of media into your next lesson or revisit media with a new lens as you model for students this year. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all of the resources and tools I mentioned today by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 129. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Kokomo 24/7. This health and safety cloud platform instantly gives power not only to manage health and safety concerns, but also mitigate and be compliant. All not only for students, but also for faculty and staff as well. You can ask for a no-string-attached 15-minute demo at kokomo247.com, and you'll see how much they are passionate about school safety and how they have been helping many, from small districts and colleges to some of the largest school districts and universities, like second largest school district in the U.S. and Big Ten colleges. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with a podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech or teaching in their podcast app. And this month of September, I have a few special bonus items for anyone who grabs a copy of my new book, EdTech Essentials. Already have your copy? Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. At Class Tech Tips is where you'll find me, or go straight to classtechtips.com/bookbonus to request your bonus items. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.